I'm joined here this morning with Suzanne V.A. Smith and Fran Tungi. Welcome. It's Fran's first time on the air, huh?
Yeah. Good morning, Joni. Good morning. How are you this morning?
Very good.
Good. Okay. Well, Fran, one of the reasons why I invited you is because you are a Cracker Jack gardener and you have a pretty unusual location, and I've noticed just a great deal of success. You live right on the Chilcat Mud Bay Beach.
Yes.
So you are right on the beach, fully exposed, and you just have a beautiful garden that I see you out working in constantly. So, Fran, my first question is, how long have you been gardening there in this location, and what are the biggest challenges for you as a gardener being so close to the beach?
Well, we built our home there in 2004, and originally I didn't know what to do. Gardening was in Southeast is a new concept, or was a new concept for me. I came from Colorado where it's hot and dry. But the first thing I felt like we had to overcome was we were in just a sea of gravel. When they came in and did the construction, there were some trees. We tried to move them, not very successfully. But I didn't know what to do with all the gravel. There was no soil. Mm-hmm. And so, but I was amazed how quickly some vegetation, natural vegetation, started coming back in. The gravel is excellent drainage, and I think there's some really essential minerals in it, too. Mm. So I had really good luck just scattering seeds, and I was very impressed that those came up so well. But some of those seeds I was scattering became invasive after 4 or 5 years, so I had to learn then how to control that. Probably soil, just getting soil, buying soil, making soil has been a huge challenge for me. Wind is a challenge, mm-hmm. a lot of weeds, mm-hmm. and more recently, voles, mm-hmm. Just because of the abundant vegetation that we have now after all these years.
Yeah, okay. When you say you scattered seeds, what kind of seeds were they?
Well, columbine and delphinium. I just found, I don't know, I think someone here probably just gave me some, and I started scattering in them, and then I would collect the seeds in the fall, scatter them more, and I was just amazed. And then if I had pots, I would just, at the end of the season, I would throw the soil out into the gravel and scatter seeds on that. And that's how I got started.
Okay. And now do you still have columbines and delphiniums?
I do, but I'm very selective about where I let them grow now. Okay. When I see them coming up, I pull them up. And I love them. They're still some of my favorite flowers, but I am trying to control that.
Yeah. Well, let me know when you pull up delphiniums. I'll take them from
gladly.
You.
And you can have as many seeds as you want.
Yeah. And how do you adjust what and how you grow with the soil challenges and the wind and the weeds? How do you?
It's a lot of trial and error.
Okay.
You know, we have some sunny locations right along the beach, back going into the forest, a lot of shady locations. So it's not uncommon for me to move plants 2, 3, 4 times sometimes until I just find that right location. And some things just I can't grow on the beach just because of the wind, the brackish conditions. So I've just had to learn to accept that too.
When you say brackish conditions, do you mean like the wind and the rain and they pick up salt?
Yes.
And,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I have a really hard time with onions, for example.
Yeah.
I just cannot grow onions.
Okay. What other plants do you have difficulty growing? That you've tried?
Well, I think I have a greenhouse because there are some things that everyone has trouble with here. But I can't grow tomatoes, cucumbers, or zucchini.
Of
a lot of my herbs just have to be in the greenhouse. The soil that I have created, the beds that I have created, I find that they don't heat up as much. And you think they would, but a lot of my beds just don't heat up. So,
are
and
they those stay inside or outside your greenhouse?
Those, well, both inside and outside.
Uh-huh.
But outside, I fight a lot of moss too,
continually.
And so it's just because it's wet. And then just with the structures we put up over time and the trees, I'm fighting for sun in a lot of the areas now.
Yeah. And do you ever limb your trees?
We do. Okay. We do. Okay. I never thought I would do that, but we do. Just for the sun and just ventilation as well. Yes.
Right. Yeah, I've really found limbing trees really helps with getting some filtered sun in there, and a lot of the plants really do better with filtered sunlight because the sun can get so hot with the long days.
Yes.
Or you have complete shade. And so
we're just opening up an area that we just limbed some trees lower, and I'm really excited about it. I'm going to kind of look at it as a woodland garden now.
Yeah.
And just the light filtering through, and I see so much potential in this little area now.
So that's so nice.
Potential. Something I'm going to start in the next year.
That's so nice to open up a new space and just imagine what could go there.
It's really fun. Yeah,
it is fun.
And a lot of the things I'm going to put in there are already in my garden. I'm going to move them because they're not in good places now.
Right. And when you move things, how do you fill in the gaps that they leave? Do you just hope things are going to fill out?
It's funny because when I dig something up, because our soil is so gravelly, it just kind of fills in on its own. Sometimes I'll bring a little dirt and put it in, but usually it just kind of levels out on its own. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, the greenhouse, where it was a prefabricated greenhouse, and you had it shipped here?
We had it shipped here, and my husband and my son put it up for
And how big is it, approximately?
It's about 8 by 12.
Okay.
Pretty small.
And how long have you had it?
Let's see, we did that in 2010, and it serves our purposes very well. I start all my seeds in there, annuals and the various vegetables, and as things come out early in the summer and the tomato plants and the cucumbers and the zucchini start growing, they just fill it in, and it works perfectly for us.
And it does get warm enough in there for tomatoes?
Oh, it's very warm in there. In fact, I really like this greenhouse because it has vents that automatically open and close on top. And then I also have, at each end, I can open it up. But it's not uncommon for, just last week, the greenhouse was 95 degrees in there several days.
Yeah, they get really hot. Mm-hmm. Do you start your seeds in there? Do you have to put a heater in there?
I do not have a heater in there. I did initially, and I found that things were just bolting too quickly. I wasn't getting a good root system, so I stopped doing that. I have a fan that runs 24/7 in there. It's really amazing. Sometimes we get here in April, and sometimes I'll start my seeds just inside on the dining room table.
Uh-huh.
But as soon as I see germination, I take them outside fairly quickly. I think I have healthier plants.
Yeah.
If they just start outside, it's a little slower.
Yeah.
But the results are better long term.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great. How do you, your garden is pretty large.
It is.
I mean, it surrounds the entire house, all sides of the house, mm-hmm. front, back, sides. How do you deal with watering?
Well, I used to drag a hose around,
and
I found that I liked being in the garden, but I would rather be doing something than be dragging a hose around.
Mm-hmm.
So I started sprinkling, which then encouraged vegetation we didn't want.
Okay.
My husband gets out there with a string trimmer, and he said we have to come up with another solution, mm-hmm. and so he started researching drip irrigation.
Okay.
And I would say I have drip going to probably 80% of our plantings now.
So can you tell, I don't understand what drip irrigation is. Is it a whole system?
It is
like
a whole system.
Like an underground?
No, it's all above ground.
Okay.
It's all above ground. And you'll have to bring him on and ask him about questions about the drip. I can install it. But he researched it. And last winter was the first winter that we had this system pretty much intact. And it doesn't have to be blown out.
Mm-hmm.
The pipe or the tubing expands and contracts, and we didn't have any issues when we came back this spring.
Okay.
So it's really, really slick. I like it a lot.
And where did you get it from? Do you know?
We actually brought it up with us.
Okay.
I think you can buy it from any landscape. We're in Arizona in the winter, and so we just bought it there.
Okay.
But I think you can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
I don't believe anybody in town carries it.
Okay. All right. Do you know anybody in town that uses drip?
I don't.
Mardell does.
Mardell does?
Does Mardell? Okay.
Yeah.
I would think like Four Winds Farm would need drip, the larger.
Yeah.
It'd be wonderful if somebody in town would.
Yeah. I kind of like watering because I like being outside and just kind of spacing out. And
I do too, but I have other things to do outside.
Yeah.
I do a lot of weeding. And so I just found that I was just frustrated that I was spending so much time just dragging the hose around and, kinking and all that goes along with hoses.
I never thought about the fact that when you water, you're also watering the weeds.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I was just encouraging so much vegetation that we didn't want.
Uh-huh.
And so, anyway, we've controlled that too now with just creating beds and laying down weed barrier and rock over that.
Okay, so last question. Who has helped you figure out your garden? Has it been just you and Roger, your husband? Or neighbors, or?
Initially, it was neighbors and friends.
Okay.
But what I found was their location wasn't the same as my location. So, you know, I made a lot of mistakes early on. But more recently, in the last 5 or 6 years, when I decided I wanted more perennials, shrubs, and trees, Sabina from Gomi's Garden started up her business. Actually, we kind of started working together a little bit before that.
Okay.
But she's been instrumental in helping me find, well, she only brings in plants that can survive here, but but what works best in my various locations, and as well as design. She has a really good eye for design, and so she's helped me a lot.
Yeah. Well,
and continues to.
That is great. I'm just so impressed by those hydrangeas.
They are fabulous
right
now.
Yeah, the limelight.
Those are 2 years old. I have one in a pot and one in the ground. And this year, the one in the ground is blooming almost as well as the one in the pot. And they're amazing. I want to get more.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try one of those because I love big shrubs and things that work. And I always loved hydrangeas, and I never knew I could have one.
They're pretty anyway. I just love the foliage on them. But right now, those flowers are just, they're huge.
Yeah, yeah, they're beautiful. Are they the type of hydrangeas that if you put something in the soil around the base, will they change color slightly? I know the blue ones are like that.
These won't, I don't want them to, so I guess I haven't researched that. Yeah. I really like the limelight.
All right.
Seriously, you can change the color by putting, what do you put on there?
Where I grew up, and this was in New York, most of the hydrangeas at the time there were blues, different colored blues, huge blue blossoms, beautiful. If you put pennies in the soil,
copper
around the hydrangea, it would change the shade of blue.
Right.
And I just found that fascinating.
That is fascinating. That fascinating.
In Colorado, if you planted a blue one in the soil and didn't do anything, they just turned white over time.
Really?
Yes.
I wonder if that's why what is the one that comes out in the spring on the trees with all my lilac? I wonder if that's why it was purple and now it's fading. It's getting whiter and whiter.
Maybe.
I'm going to find some copper pennies and throw it in there. Yeah. Or maybe just put copper around it.
Lilacs are, it's one of my favorite shrubs.
It's one of my favorites,
too. It smells
so
good.
And I have two lilacs in our yard that were well established when we moved in. And they have never bloomed. And everybody said, they're not getting enough sun. So we limbed the trees around them. They got sunlight. I composted. I thinned them out. Mm-hmm. I prune them, give them more air circulation. And they've been there for 14 years. And this spring, I had one bloom.
Right. At my location, the only way I can get a lilac to bloom is to put it next to a heat sink. If it's out in the middle of the lot somewhere, it will not bloom. But if I've got it next to a heat sink, like a building, and some protection, it blooms.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
So, Fran, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For coming
this was
on.
Fun.
Well, I'll have to have you back because your garden is so extensive, we could talk a lot.
It's fun. It's my favorite place to be.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joni.
You're welcome. Thank you.